Hey there, welcome to Lockdown with Kumar. I'm your host, Abhineet Kumar, the founder of this podcast. This show is a deep dive on habits and rituals that make us better, startup opportunities and tech trends that create exponential impact, conversations about life, but mostly venture stories. Join me in this journey as I talk to passionate upcoming leaders from diverse backgrounds, learning together on how to achieve limitless success through ambition, drive, purpose, and vision. In today's episode, we have with us Christina McDonald-Sekund, who is the Director of Communications and Public Relations at Toronto-based cross-border fintech startup Remitter. Before this, Christina worked as the head of community for Toffee Insurance in India and in public relations with fintech unicorn TransferWise. She's based out of New York, loves storytelling, building brands, and creating community, and clearly loves fintech and insurtech. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Abhineet.
How are you?
Doing good, yeah. I took a long two-week vacation, went home to Maine, and while it was beautiful, I'm glad to be back where it's a little bit warmer.
Right, so Maine is always cold, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we've got like a solid 2 months of summer, and I think that... Oh.
And isn't Maine your hometown? I mean, isn't the home state Maine?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of funny how I found fintech. So my parents actually live as far north and as far east as you really can get while still being within the U.S. So I grew up on a border city. So it's a solid 13-hour drive up to home, which is beautiful. Yeah, but international payments are something that I've seen my whole life. My mom's actually a bank teller at a small local bank. So I guess it's just kind of ironic. I don't think I put the two pieces together when I like applied for my first fintech job. But yeah, it's kind of circled my life in some way.
Nice. So you grew up in a small town in Maine. Your mom's a bank teller and you had that banking background as such, but you never knew you were going to end up in fintech. And here you are, probably the last few years, you know, you've worked in fintech and insurtech, right? So that's really exciting. Yeah. Intriguing. But tell me a little bit more about your hometown and what's it like?
It's rural and it's cute. I think that one of my favorite things about going home is I literally have three mason jars of like homemade relish and raspberry jam and homemade maple syrup. And it's very self-sufficient and in a really beautiful way, right? Like my dad has made our kitchen table. He's like a real lumberjack. And there's a deep pride in self-made things and being a small business owner. You have to support them because if you don't buy your table or your furniture from the local guy, you have to go a really long ways to buy a mass produced product. So the transition kind of where my role is now working for a B2B paytech company, it's almost ironic. It's a little bit faded.
Interesting. I could totally get it because I live in a small town right now in India, in Gaya, and like small town life is so different from larger cities. It's very slow paced. So my question to you is, these 2 weeks when you were in Maine, you know, in your town, and by the way, what's it called again?
It's like hard to Google. I'm from Ashland. So it's a suburb of Presque Isle, which is then very difficult to spell.
Okay. Yo, Ashland is cool. Okay. So I just wanted to ask you, what all did you guys do when you were in Ashland this time around?
Yeah, so my parents are shifting houses. They've decided that they no longer need a 5-bedroom farmhouse. It's too much for them. Mm-hmm. So I was moving furniture up and down stairs as a form of relaxation, I guess, burning my quarantine weight. I don't know.
That's a good workout.
Yeah, and enjoying the stars. The skies in Maine are unbelievable. It's like as if God stabbed a hole through black velvet. They're beautiful.
Wow. Beautiful. I've never heard the sky being described like that, Christina. So that is cool. Now I have to Google Maine sky photos. But thank you for sharing that. So, you know, we connected when Remitter was launched on Product Hunt, what, over a month ago or so, right?
Yeah. Back in the end of July.
Right. And it was a phenomenal campaign. I think you and your team got more than 1600 upvotes. Would love to really understand how you guys went about it and obviously, get some context in what Remitter does. I was very curious how you ended at this job and, how are things going on?
So I'll give you a quick walkthrough on Remitter. So we are a B2B fintech for small business payments. That's a very like fintech jargon kind of explanation. If we unbundle that a little bit, Remitter replaces wire transfers and physical checks. So if you put it in context, if you're a small business company, say you're in e-commerce, you have staff on ground in Toronto, you got your website built by a firm in India, you source your goods from Italy, Remitter can help you make all of those payments without having to visit a bank or pay excessive, exorbitant bank fees.
Right. So you're saying, let's say if I'm selling some stuff on Amazon US today and I'm sourcing a lot of it from here and I need to like make some kind of transaction, banking transaction from India to the US or US to like Southeast Asia, wherever, right? It's the easiest way to do that. And how does the process work then?
So Remitter has built its own global network. And so the majority of our payments on the platform can be done in one day. So we're fast, we're predictable, and much more cost-effective.
Interesting. And how long has it been, since Remitter's inception?
So Remitter turned 4 years old recently, and the Product Hunt launch was a product feature launch. So we launched the global business account. So we call it Remitter GBA. And this is a digital banking account. So think of it as like a digital wallet for USD, so US, GBP, so UK, and Euro for Europe. So you can hold these currencies, avoiding unnecessary currency conversions. And again, for an e-commerce person who's frequently collecting payments, it's a really, really cost-effective way to secure those payments internationally.
Interesting. I like that. It makes a lot of sense because, I mean, if I'm trying to run a business which is global and I'm trying to figure out banking partners, I'll have to do that in each country, which becomes really complicated. And that's where Remitter comes in then. And so if I'm a business, how does the onboarding happen, Christina? I mean, is it quick? Like, can I just like open up an account tomorrow? Registered? How does it work?
Sure. So compliance varies quite a bit, but essentially we just need to know who owns the business, what are the stakeholders, what is your like purpose of business, your standard KYC. It's a little bit different between consumer and business, but essentially we need to know where you're getting money, what is that for, and what are the purpose of your transactions. Once we're cleared that this is a legitimate business, it follows the rules and regulations we owe to our institutions for compliance, you're good to go. So you can be set up in less than one day.
Wow. Okay. That's really quick. And you're saying that users can also use the platform apart from businesses, or it's just purely B2B?
So Remitter is a B2B platform.
Got it. So it brings me to that question again, like back to the product feature launch you mentioned, and how did you guys go about it? Because it was pretty successful. I remember tweeting about it, and I know that day was getting viral on Twitter. So I know you had a big hand to play in that as well. So I would love to hear your perspective. How did you guys go about it?
So, I mean, let's lump these into like learnings as well. So, I think the most important thing is to know the platform. We were the second hunt of that day. So, we were in the featured section, not the newest. And so, knowing the difference between featured and newest is really important. Knowing what a hunter is and how it works, what are makers, how does the platform really work is super important. But it is a beautiful platform for a young company to launch on. Just because you get so much feedback, you get really, really great eyeballs, and you get really, really collective, comprehensive feedback on the product, but from folks that are really, really interested in giving you quality like responses. Use the platform beforehand. And so we spent about 3 weeks, and most of my role was in outreach. So I just took a standard PR campaign template to track our outreach the same way we would typically monitor media. This is a network platform, right? So in and of itself, Product Hunt has a bunch of really great product folks. And so kind of tapping into those, the platform itself is, it has an algorithm that's only known to Product Hunt, right? So is it comments? Is it upvotes? Is it who sees your eyeballs? Is it how many clicks you get? The combination's kind of a mystery, but knowing that all of those core elements play a piece, how can you kind of foster that while also having it being really authentic? Product Hunt is very adamant that cool products are what people are genuinely excited about. And so you actually need to have people really excited about your product, right? If you're going to be the coolest new product, you need to kind of hold your own merit. So having a killer product is the number one criteria. And then just fostering the excitement around that is what's important. So I think the one beautiful lesson, especially for early founders, is recognizing the value of network, right? So we tapped into our network that has networks. So, hey, I know that you're in this group, in this community. Could you help me spread the word? Right? You're not allowed to ask for upvotes or support or anything like that, but you are allowed to tell people what you're doing, right? And so it's a really great first kind of PR campaign for folks. I really would recommend a launching brand to use it because you learn a lot about how to build relationships and how to leverage your network. And you kind of found your power users are the folks that are genuinely rallying for you. And it's a great feeling. We racked up a crazy number of comments really quickly. I think that that's a beautiful thing. We had it's like over 120 comments in like the first couple of hours. And that was just purely because the value of our relationships which speaks to the quality of our founders and who they are.
Yeah, no, I remember because I feed that day. I mean, I obviously upvoted. I enjoyed the story and I learned a little bit about the founders and I had a talk with you before, so I was excited about the launch. And when I went, I think I went in super late and I saw the number of upvotes you had, and it was really well coordinated and, very well executed. So congratulations on that launch. I'll probably pick your brains later when I end up launching a couple of products down the line. I think it's phenomenal that you shared that story, and maybe, this could become a tweet thread or something later on.
More than happy for that. We do have an ebook that we're putting together, so I'd be more than happy to share this as well.
Oh, that'll be cool. Yeah, I could put it on the podcast page. That's cool. It brings me to the next question, Christina. So, how did you end up in fintech? Like, you've had a fun journey both in India and the US, right? You started off at TransferWise, you ended up in India for, I don't know, 3 years, and then now you're back in the United States. But throughout this journey, you've been either in fintech or insurtech. So, how did this happen? And walk us through your story a little bit from Maine to New York to New Delhi and back to New York.
Yeah, I feel like I make such crazy jumps that it's actually hard to have a conversation with me without explaining, like, what the heck were you doing in India? But yeah, I mean, I guess it all starts right in this border city up in the north of Maine, and I wanted to see the world, and so I studied international public relations like through and through. I knew that's what I wanted to do, whether that would be corp comms or branding, or if I would be a lobbyist, I didn't know, but I knew that that was something near and dear to my heart. So I started applying to schools that had international programs, and I ended up in a small town in Alabama with a university called Jacksonville State University. They have an ex like an amazing international program. It's this Greek pillar house where 40 kids live together, and it's usually 20 Americans, 20 internationals. My group actually had more international students, 20
I see.
boys and 20 girls, all in a like one dorm room, a dorm apartment building. And we wrote research articles about what happens when you mix so many cultures and what are our collective thoughts on world politics or different
Interesting.
economies. It was really, really cool, a crazy experience. But then I have this PR degree in focused in international relations. I've been part of this program. I'm like, okay, now what's next, right? I've got my degree, ink is drying. I'm like, I know that I want to be in tech. It's a global language, right? It connects people. Everybody can use the same product. It's uniting. It's beautiful. But where in this do I want to fall? So I was writing some cover letters and reading all these best practices for finding your dream job article.
Right.
And
Yeah,
I
we
found
all do
it.
that.
Yeah. And I found a job description that I was a little bit out of field. They wanted 3 to 5 years experience, and it was
Wow.
for the TransferWise. And I wrote in my cover letter, I'm like, this is a dream for me, talking about international students being able to move money, right? Talking about like uniting the world. This is very, very much something I want to do. And I promise I'll just work really hard. So then the head of comms, Taina, calls me and she's like, look, I like you and I'll hire you, but you have to be ready. I'm like, okay, I'm ready. And it was a lot. I helped launch Canada with their borderless card, everything kind of there. I did this for about 9 months, and a large part of my role was working with the data scientists and customer insights to find trends, right? Are
Right.
people moving money home for Diwali? Are people moving money for Chinese New Year? What are the PR stories there? And my day kind of fell into India, right? Demonetization happened, the boom of Paytm, UPI. So I'm trend jacking a counter story of what's happening in India, right?
Right.
And my boyfriend, now husband, was in the US. And this is 2017. The tech companies all got together to rally for H-1Bs to be easier, right?
Right.
So as I see Pune struggling to get an H-1B continued, and India's fintech is going through the roof, a fantastic journey, I said, you know what? Like, what is, like, this is it. This is fate. Like, we got to go. Like, so I quit my job, sold everything I own, bought a ticket to Delhi, and said, I'm going.
Nice. I like that spontaneity. I like that you guys were like, hey, let's go to India now.
I don't know that he was as excited as I was, but I was really charged. So I looking through our network and saying, okay, I need to localize my resume, my little resume, right? What's my next career move going to be? I've had one job. Like, I'm still very young.
Right.
And a mutual connection was getting ready to launch. And so I said, hey, let me come into the office. We'll work together for like 3 weeks or a month while I'm getting my feet on the ground. And we'll see what, we'll play by ear. I spent 18 months, maybe a little
Wow.
bit more, at Toffee Insurance. Yeah.
Nice. And this was in Gurgaon?
So I was the fifth in office, the third employee. We built the whole thing together. So my role wasn't really defined. It was, hey, we might need you to write web copy. We might need you to lead PR. And so it's like whatever needs to be the cork in the boat, can you fill that? Which was a super crazy opportunity. And I'm like eternally grateful for how much faith and responsibility Rohan let me have. And
right.
I got my hands dirty in everything. I hired the team. I paid light bill. Like I led the marketing copy. I sat in on the branding conversations. And so I kind of took more of a product marketing role while PR was my daily responsibility.
Right. And comparing it, you know, both the stories. So TransferWise, probably they were 6 years into building their business. So they were in a very different stage when you worked with them, kind of growth stage. And Toffee was very early stage. So you had so much more ownership, so many things to be done, right? So you were the person who would get things done, essentially, at this company. Very, very different experiences, right? And that too, in a new country. By the way, you hadn't been to India before, right?
No, I'd never been to India, and which was actually really crazy. Before I went, I watched like every documentary possible about India. I think I know more about the rivers in India. But yeah, I mean, you learn. It was trial by fire for sure. But what's really brilliant, and I think that my experience maybe is a little bit more unique, is that I went with someone, right? So to say that I did this all alone would be a complete facade. You know, I think that moving to any country is really difficult, but I had not a security blanket, but like I had a foundation. You know, I came home to a family, someone who is going to help me buy curtains or say, hey, Christina, come over for dinner. So it's a lot easier to jump in when you know that you have people with you. right? I had the right ground for me to blossom. I had put its family and friends there. And so it's a lot easier to, when you move somewhere, you unpack your suitcase, right? Step one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You hang up a painting. Step two. Now you're home. The third piece is unpacking this part of you that you don't really realize isn't maybe all the way there yet. Mm. And so in India, I brought my whole self. It takes time, right? It takes right. like 6 months to acclimate. I cried on the bathroom floor. Everybody does, you know, but mm-hmm. it was home for me because I let myself be vulnerable. I built connections on my own outside of Pune as well, so that I have this entire life there. And so that's, I think that that's what's really important when you jump to any big change in life, is find the security that's going to allow you to be vulnerable and be your whole self.
Right. No, I mean, just this whole thing, how you described, I could tell that slowly you fell in love with India. And it's validated when I go on your Twitter and I read your pinned tweet where you're like saying goodbye to digital India and you're saying, hey, wear your helmets, pay e-challans via UPI and buy Golgappa with Paytm. It's funny, but it seems that you had a really nice start. You had that foundation, you had your support system there, and I guess you miss them.
Yeah, I do. I mean, like, I think that a huge part of my heart is there. And I mean, I'll eventually maybe get my OCI and we'll see where life takes us. But mm-hmm. there's something so fantastically unique about India. The history is so rich. The culture is so vibrant. It's impossible to not fall in love with it. It's brilliant. But when we talk about work, right, like looping back yep. to mm-hmm. life and living there, but also working there, I got an Ichalan. Well, I didn't, Pune did. So we were going on the Agra highway, right?
Okay.
Through Noida to Agra. It was the most like eye-opening, oh my God, moment for me. Because he got a via SMS. How do you get, like, all right, so maybe we should explain what an Ichalan is. A
right.
chalan is
right.
a ticket, right? So we got mm-hmm. a speeding ticket because it's all digitalized, mm-hmm. the highways.
Right.
And it happened via SMS. So like we get a
while
text
you're driving.
While you're driving. And then you see the station up ahead. We pulled over. They're like, hey, you can pay it via like any of the wallets you want to, and you can just keep going.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Driven
I was
on that expressway a few times. Yeah, that's interesting. Because, you know, when I was in DC for a while, I know my friends used to get tickets, but they would come in mail. This is really one level ahead. Like, each allowance is very different.
Yeah, but you can pay via UPI. This is amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm like jaw dropped. And like, I don't think anyone should be excited about getting a ticket. And I actually, I don't think anyone should be driving rashly. We were not speeding that high. Let me put a disclaimer. Mm-hmm.
But, right. Yeah.
But
that's a good thing.
It really is amazing. You know, you go through like DND between Delhi and Noida, that highway, and there's mm-hmm. a massive billboard that says like KYC and like under a minute, instant UPI. Like it's these terminologies and these jargons that I very often have to unbundle for consumer comms and the finance comms are on billboards. It's just amazing the rapid adoption that India has seen. I find so impressive. I mean, I think that there's a lot there. That ecosystem kind of is complicated, but it is something to wonder at and be like, wow, this is interesting.
Right. I had a question around this before we jump into, you know, what you ended up doing next after Toffee. I just want to ask you this, that you've seen fintech in the US and you've seen the whole banking ecosystem here in North America. Like, how does it compare with India now launching UPI and, you know, a series of fintech companies coming up? Like, do you see, you know, grander vision in play, you know, eventually in Southeast Asia? Are things similar or different from your perspective? How do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you my predictions and what I think, but I don't want to speak out of turn in that I'm not a builder, right? I'm mm-hmm. not a product. I don't have a tech background, but I do think that we're going to see a lot of incredible change in Southeast Asia, India specifically. If you look at the two markets, what are the clusters, right? India has a lot of lending, a lot of lending. And it speaks to the fact that credit isn't prevalent in that market. Whereas you look at the counter opposite, which is the US, where everybody knows how to use a credit card. They're quite literate, understanding cashbacks, right? The perk system's extremely developed. Consumer banking is kind of our cluster here. And so I'm interested to see how either these two worlds kind of merge or evolve in customer literacy.
Right. No, that's a really good insight, because that's what I felt when I was in America. You know, it's so easy to get a credit card. Like, that's probably one of the easier things to do. Just going through the whole digital banking landscape, it's trickier than what I would experience back home here in India. It's very different. So here it's, if I have to like send a peer-to-peer payment, it's so easy using like UPI or using one of the wallets, right? And just making those online payments, it's much more easier. Anybody's using it. Everyone's using it. Here in Gaya, which is a tier three town, most of the people like at my parents' hospital, they like using Paytm to pay. So it's here everywhere, way well distributed. And in America, it was different. I mean, the card system is huge. Obviously, everyone's got a credit card. So that's the predominant way of paying is what I felt. Yeah, lots to be done. For sure. All right, let's talk a little bit more about what you ended up doing after Toffee Insurance. And this was also in India, right? Like the brand building stint you had there in India.
Yeah. So I was with Toffee through their fundraise. So I think we did like 120 press hits in like 9 months. Yeah, it was busy. It was fantastic.
That's a lot. Right.
They move really fast. They're a fantastic team to work with. But I was wondering, I'm like, okay, how long am I going to be in India? You know, like I'm itching to get back into payments. I want to learn more about fintech. I want to understand the banking infrastructure more. So I'm very good friends with the founding team, obviously. And I said, you know what, like if ever you need me, just call me. But I'm going to go and find what my next thing is. What is it that I want to love while I have... Like it's to look a gift horse in the mouth. I'm across the world. Like I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in my early 20s. Like I'm just going to explore and have fun. So I started consulting. I got a notification.
My phone. Oh, no problem.
Yeah. So no, I mean, I was consulting and helping young organizations work through, okay, are we ready for PR? How do we pick a PR agency or consultant? What are we looking for? What are the basic things we need before we look at PR? These things.
Right.
So I built network between the accelerators and incubators and investors trying to find these guys at launch time or post their fundraise to kind of walk them through. Hey, the marketing can be a really tricky world when you get into that sales cycle because we're telling stories, right? So how can you kind of differentiate the raw product? So that's really what I did. I did that for about 9 months before my husband looks at me and goes, Christina, do you have a good reason to be sitting here? Because like I miss New York. So I did that for about 9 months. And that's when I got connected with Kanchan and Sandeep. And
okay.
I said, hey, you know what? This is a dream come true. It's a perfect fit. We're this beautiful yin-yang of Canada, the US, India. And I came back to lead comms there.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, the last point you made makes me think about that photograph you guys shared on Twitter, right? Like your team's global right now. India, Canada, United States, right? And you've been, I think you said like you've been working from home for the last 186 days or so. Is that what it is?
Yeah. So I have the New York office. It's a team of one currently. Okay. We'll be bigger someday nice. Soon. But yeah, I sit in New York. I used to fly to Toronto, well, every 6 weeks. But that's obviously stopped now. But our tech team largely is in Mumbai. Then we have some folks in the UAE, in Dubai. And then I'm in New York. And the majority of the team is on ground in Toronto.
Nice. And so, Christina, you've worked globally now in a way, right? North America and then a little bit of Asia, like particularly India. So could you talk us about your experiences, how you adapted to a different work culture? Like in India, like not just a different culture, but like a different work culture as well. So anything on that?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the same thing about like immigration, right? And how difficult it is to bring your whole self to a new place, because you essentially have to rework your identity. And this applies to work as well, right? I've been so blessed to work with really humble, kind, genuinely authentic, good founders with beautiful teams. I think that one example is one of my favorite people in the world, one of my best friends now, was our UX designer, Priyanka, at Toffee Insurance. So, I mean, the majority of conversations when we would be at late nights, right? We were working on the build, it would be in Hindi. Right, like,
Really?
yeah, I mean, like,
Right.
largely the working language in India is English,
Is Hindi.
but
I mean,
like,
and communication does happen in Hindi too, right? Yeah, that's what you're saying.
yeah, so it's a hybrid, but I would say that like the majority of meetings happen in English, but when you're talking about like sketching the outline of the UX, that conversation fast paced is going to be in Hindi. But Priyanka is Punjabi and she loves to have phrases in Punjabi, which would just go over my head. So there's three of us, right? There's Ravi, the full stack developer, Priyanka's UX, and I was all things marcoms. And so Priyanka would hash it out with Ravi, then turn it back and be like, hey, Christina, we need this content. I'm like, okay. But eventually it gets to a point where Priyanka's taking notes for herself and for me, right? And at some point, I need to put in the work to at least understand what the conversation's happening to meet them 50-50. I can't expect the whole world to translate back for me. So while my Hindi is not perfect, please don't test me. Like, Samaj, I know what's happening, you know? And I think it's putting in the work to ask yourself, am I bringing my whole self to the table and finding those ways to make you comfortable? Priyanka would go above and beyond to share her lunch with me, to tell me about her family, show me pictures of her home, to a point where I can be really candid with her because we built a relationship. So again, like find that foundation that's going to let you blossom.
I like that. Find that foundation that would let you blossom. And I love that you were in a work culture where people would go above and beyond because that's rare to find even now, right? People going one step ahead to make you feel comfortable and make you feel welcomed and including a new member into everything they do. And that should be the way how it should be, but it's way rare. So that's really cool that you had that kind of, workforce around you, like friends around you and, people who worked with you.
I mean, again, like you have to give to get, right? You gotta, and that's in any relationship, right? Like even if we're talking about media relationships, to build a relationship, you have to let yourself be vulnerable and build a connection, right? It's a two-way street. Everything in life has to be win-win, right? So me writing my own marketing copy and knowing what was going on in meetings helped Priyanka, you know, and we got really close as a team, and I think that it applies to everything. If you come with humbleness and you give love and acceptance, you'll find it.
No, totally. I agree. Which brings me to this question. Did you pick up any Punjabi then?
Actually, I'll tell you my one favorite phrase because I don't really understand it.
Right. Okay. I
So
mean, okay, fine.
it should be Mary, Pud be Mary, and a Mary Bob. I don't get it.
Okay. My Punjabi is not good as well, but
Something
I'll definitely check it
about a
out.
coin. If they land on heads, if it lands on bottom, if it stands up, all of them are mine. If it's standing, it's my dad's. Like,
Oh,
I don't get it.
interesting. I'm trying to understand the use case of this phrase, but okay, I like that.
So my Punjabi is all like these phrases are like these stories that I don't really know the applications for. So it's limited.
Hey, that's fun. I mean, it means that you had a lot of fun. When you pick up, phrases of a language, you still remember them. That means you had like pleasant memories. You had nice memories. I just wanted to ask you one more thing. What advice do you have for entrepreneurs around, public relations, brand building, community building? You've seen it at early stage companies. You've seen it at growth stage companies, but particularly, at the early stage startup landscape, do you think founders could leverage these tools more effectively to get a higher return on investment? And if so, how would you advise people to go about it?
Yeah, so I think that it really starts with two different things is know the different parts of what PR encompasses. And then the second is know what you're looking for. Right. So when we talk about public relations, I mean, I think that everyone defaults to media relations, right? But publics are defined as stakeholders. So who are your stakeholders, right? Have those really clearly defined. And for a young company, they might not know their product market fit. They might not know their customers. But this is where it's really, really key to say PR is not a testing platform, right? If you want to test your messaging, ads are a really easy way to do it, right? And understand that, like, media relations staying there is not a platform to test messaging. Media won't take it. It won't help you. And once you've done this, it's not something you can take back, right? The dynamics, it's not, and you're not going to see the same ROI immediately. It's part of a bigger thing. And so understanding outside of media relations, what else PR is, it's investor relations, it's crisis management, it's internal communications, it's who do you need to talk to? What do you want to say to them? And why do you want to say it? And then, most importantly, the how of PR is why do they care? So once you understand everything that's encompassed in your stakeholder communications, aka all of PR, what do you want? What are you really trying to achieve with PR? And so what aspects of that are you going to pick up? Are you looking for internal comms? If you're very early, it's important to build culture, but you probably don't really need mass newsletters to 200 employees, right? But ask yourself what's really, really important for yourself, and let the PR person that you're talking to guide you. It's a big decision about if you're going to outsource PR to a freelancer, an agency, or hire. These are big decisions. And so be really, really clear on what comms you need, why you're doing it, and how much of it you really genuinely have. I like to think of PR as when you're hiring for PR, think of it as I'm hiring a web developer, right? Okay, but when do you want your front end fixed? Do you want UX, UI? Do you want back end? Like, can we host this on WordPress? Like, there's levels, right? So it's a complicated function if you don't know what you want. And I think that that's where a lot of people get frustrated. And so before you jump onto the PR journey, ask yourself, why am I doing this and what am I looking to see? And be honest with yourself.
So what could be, some of those motivations for an early stage company? One could obviously be, hey, I'm going fundraising, so I really need to push out a narrative out there for my product, for my company. The other could be probably a new product launch, right? That would help you amplify the reach. The third, as you mentioned, was just positioning yourself in a right manner to potential recruits and people whom you want to come on your team. And so just pushing out that kind of a story. What else is out there for, at the early stage, which you think I'm missing out on right now?
Yeah, so I mean, the most common is investment or hiring, right? But
Got it.
we need to ask ourselves, you need to get really, really granular, right? Because the same way you build Facebook lookalike profiles, we have a lot of media to cover and go through. And then we also need to understand, okay, what's that story for? PR is 100% a two-way street. Whenever you say, okay, cool, I want to hire tech talent. So I want Wired, I want Engaged, I want these tech publications where really talented developers are going to be reading. That's great. But what's in it for Wired? Right? It's not an advertisement. This is a story. And so do you have something that's going to support the Wired readers outside of wanting them to get you a job? Because if your story isn't captivating or engagement, you're saying an advertisement, and PR is not advertising, right? And so it's really getting into a granular level of how am I helping this publication? How am I helping their readers? How am I helping my readers? And what is my end goal here? And is it news, right? So I think that a lot of people look for PR. I think the one we're missing is validation, right? I built this. It's awesome. And you should do that. It's great. It is such a beautiful thing to see your company's name in print. You grab Fortune magazine and you're like, oh my God, I built this and it's real and it's on this magazine.
Right.
It's a really cool experience, but know how to engage with media, right? Understand that at the back end, that publication is doing a job, that journalist has a high integrity level to make sure that there's news. And just be sure that you're very clear that you're providing value to everyone you touch.
I like that. Oh, thank you for breaking it down for me. Really appreciate it. So when, you know, if I'm an early stage founder right now, I have a low bandwidth, you know, do not have a lot of capital to invest in PR. Do you suggest or recommend people still, you know, partnering with somebody who does that independently and getting the engine started so that when you're scaling, when you have the full-time PR person on board, like, is that an approach you would recommend for a lot of companies out there?
So it's tricky. I think that there's no cookie cutter answer. It really, really depends on, once you've answered these questions of why am I doing PR? How is it going to serve me? How am I going to measure it? Mm-hmm. That's when you'll be able to decide, okay, cool. I need someone brilliant, but I'm not ready to commit to hiring them because I don't know the future, right? I don't know how much I'm going to need 6 months from now. Hire an amazing freelancer, someone who really gels with your product, and maybe they come full time. Probably they won't because they're freelance, but find someone who loves your product and is really excited and have them be a contractor. If you anticipate, hey, you know what, this messaging stuff, these relationships are core to our product, hire somebody early, you know, and let them help you all the way through. If you think, hey, you know what, I'm ready for my big Series A post pre-seed, we need to start getting eyeballs early to get us conversations. That's all that I want. Get an agency on a project, or again, get a freelancer for just a project. You don't have to have 100 press hits if that doesn't serve you, right? You can do small. There is a thing as too much PR for a startup. If you create too much buzz, you're not ready for it. So just be cognizant of what fits you. I do really love the idea of people working with freelancers that are passionate about the project. And if you find someone great, usually you can find a strong fit.
Right. No, totally. This is cool. Thanks, Christina, for explaining everything for us. You know, at the end of this episode, I would love to ask you this question. I ask all my friends who come on the show, you know, what is that one daily ritual that has helped you the most recently, whether it is unlocking productivity or just giving you joy in daily life? Like, anything you would like to share?
Yeah, so I love lists. I love lists like I can't explain it. I love it.
Really?
I love it. I love Trello. I love Evernote. I love lists. I love bullet points. But the problem is that in PR, right? Like, there's, I feel like it's a lot, right? Like, how am I helping that publication? Who is this person? Is this a great story for them? What is the bigger goal? Like, PR is quite lofty, right? And you're working through a lot of potential story angles for different publications and different people. And you're trying to link it to bigger trends. And what happens is your brain gets story overload, right? You're like, oh my God, wait a minute. What was the plot? Pause, right? So one thing that I do in the mornings that like keeps me sane is I do a brain dump, is what I call it. It's not journaling. It's not a list. It's just me writing down in paragraphs anything that I'm thinking, whether it's my personal life, whether it's work life. I don't worry about structuring it too much, but I get everything inside of me out. And sometimes that means it's great story angles. Sometimes it's, hey, I love this creative campaign. Or sometimes it's, hey, Christina, you drink too much damn coffee. Yeah, I love coffee. Anyway, that's me in a synopsis. List and coffee.
Hey, yeah, I like that. Okay, so list building is something which is a ritual that works for you, and it encompasses your personal life and professional life both. And so what do you write then? Like, any thought which comes to you, and how does it help you eventually?
Yeah, so I mean, I keep it as a diary, right? It's just a journal, but I start my day by just letting whatever's inside that I haven't processed through just come out on the paper. And if it needs to be processed, or maybe it's just a reflection that I need to get more sleep, or maybe I'm feeling anxious, you know, it just makes me more aware of how I personally feel. And maybe there's some cool creative ideas that I can pick up and put into a tactical list. But this is a space for me to just dump the brainstorm that's actually happening inside.
Right.
It's been brilliant.
Like your freshly brewed coffee, these are your freshly brewed thoughts early morning, and you put them on paper. And then do you go back to thoughts in the past, and do you see, you know, how you've evolved over the week? Or, you know, do you ever go back, or is it just daily and that's it? It's a dump. You maybe refer to it sometimes, but otherwise, no.
In the world of the coffee analogy, I would call this the grounds. Right? Like, what is this going to become? And so I leave it as a safe space that, because it's mine, right? It's my journal. It's not like I'm doing this for work. But if I think back and I'm like, hey, I had that really cool thought that was half-baked this morning, then it can actually, these are usually like my best campaign ideas are, hey, that thought's not fully fleshed out. Let me open that back up. So it's not so much an archive or a tactical thing. It's something I do for myself. That if it's purposeful, it's purposeful, but there's no pressure.
Nice. No, I really like this ritual you have. I mean, everyone has their own, and clearly this is an awesome ritual. Like, I love building lists too, but I don't do it early morning. My lists are more targeted, but I love this whole approach of writing down your freshly brewed thoughts. And then, you know, if you ever need to go back, you have it. And that helps a lot. So thank you. Thank you for sharing this, Christina. And thank you for sharing all these amazing stories from Maine, you know, from the fintech world, from what you're doing right now. And, you know, hopefully you'll keep sharing these amazing stories on Twitter and maybe come back on the show again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I just love talking to you. I think that you're such a powerful, positive influence. And I'm super excited to keep following your podcast and your journey. So keep me posted with your updates, and I'm sure we'll keep in touch.
Awesome. Before we just end this, I have to tell people that your cover image says treat people with kindness. And that's what I experienced in this whole conversation. So thanks a lot for coming on the show, Christina. Really appreciate it. Have a lovely day in New York.
You too. Take care. Chat soon.
Take care. Bye. I loved having Christina on the show and can't wait to hear your thoughts on this conversation. Find me on Twitter at @AbhinitSays and chime in with your views. Until next time, I'm your host, Abhineet Kumar, and you listened to Lockdown with Kumar. Thank you.